Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. You've probably heard about the book, The Secret. If not, you've heard it talked about on television. Rhonda Byrne has written this book, has taken the nation by storm. And I don't think I have ever seen nonsense packaged in such a an evidently marketable form. But that's what we're looking at here. And you look at this and you wonder, how can people be buying into this? And yet the reality is that friends and neighbors and perhaps even family members of all of us are looking at this and thinking, well, no, just maybe there is a secret to the secret. It is back in print. The first printing flew out of the stores. And in fact, there was no copy available for some time. It's back now. And it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Oprah's pushing it. Others are pushing it. It is new age, positive thinking nonsense, packaged as The Secret. We're going to be back to talk about it in just a few moments. If you've read the book or if you are familiar with the controversy, you have a thought about it, give us a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some issues in the news. Earlier this week, I mentioned this report that is coming out of the United Nations, in this case, the Commission on the Status of Women, having to do with the fact that the United States tried to bring a measure to get this group of the United Nations, which is, after all, hear the name of the group again, Commission on the Status of Women, to adopt a statement condemning sex selection abortions around the world. The United States was unsuccessful in getting this into the main portion of the text, and the European Union and other forces did not want any condemnation of abortion, even when it came to condemning abortions for sex selection, and in this case, the selected gender is female. And the United States is unable to get that through. I looked further into this matter since we talked about it last, and when you look into it further, you find a deeper problem. It really is sick stuff here. Now, demographers around the world indicate that there are about 100 million missing girls and females in America, about 100 million. The girl-to-boy ratio is fallen in so many places that there are 130 boys for every 100 girls in some communities in China, in Indonesia, in India. You're looking at sex selection abortions. You're also looking at sex selection infanticide. And whatever the case, you're talking about lots of girls being murdered here in the womb and soon after birth. You would think that the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women would immediately seize upon this issue as an opportunity to say, we're standing up for women. There's no doubt about the gender imbalance in the sex selection abortion. It's overwhelmingly the abortion and the infanticide of females, of baby girls. And the social consequences of that are enormous, but the depravity of this is what really gets me, and the fact that the United Nations group, the Commission on the Status of Women, did not respond positively as the United States government had proposed. The report I read from earlier this week is from Douglas Silva, published in the Weekly Standard. Now, I want to get to a part of the article I didn't share with you before, and now having looked at the data myself and going to the websites and looking at the material, I have to say, this is a very well-written sentence. Silva writes, it is perhaps obvious why sex-selection abortion is an embarrassment to feminism. While the preference for sons is deeply rooted in history, the other factors, such as reduced family size and cultural acceptance of abortion, are central pillars of feminist thought. Since at least the 1995 Beijing Women's Conference, feminist champions have argued that international gender justice could only be established if women possessed the reproductive rights necessary to reduce their family sizes, thereby liberating them for higher education and successful careers. This is as close to established wisdom as is found at the United Nations, and it is so dominant that there is even a phrase, the gender perspective, suggesting that all problems from peacekeeping to landmine removal to water supply management could be solved if they were examined through the proper feminist point of view. End quote. Now, all this controversy reminds me of how human beings can rationalize the worst forms of violence and sin as something other than what they are. And when you're looking here at the carnage in the womb of all of these millions of baby girls, and then after the womb, even in the practice of infanticide, and then you see that there are those who consider the liberation of women from the household and from family size to be a more important issue, when you run into the feminist absolute principle of a woman's unrestricted right to an abortion for any reason or no reason, you see how human beings can bury what is obvious in moral rationalization. There's a little more to that as well. I mentioned in my article published today at albertmuller.com that a few years ago, Harvard Law Professor Mary Ann Glendon, and by the way, she is one of the best out there. She is a professor at the Harvard Law School, and she's on the right side. She sees a lot of these issues clearly. Back over a decade ago, she wrote a book entitled Rights Talk, and she warned about what happens in a society when everything, every issue, every question, every controversy comes down to a battle over rights. My rights, your rights, their rights, our rights. Everything a matter of rights. As she says, rights talk crowds out right and wrong talk. And that is profoundly true. Rights talk crowds out right and wrong talk. And that means a discussion about what is right and wrong gets eclipsed by a question over whose rights are involved. And that's why these days so many important, vital moral issues really aren't treated as moral issues. They're treated as litigation. They end up in the courts, where it's all a matter of rights. You know, if this world doesn't wake up and see the problem with this, with, for instance, just sex selection abortion as one indication, then you have to wonder what could possibly awaken this civilization from its moral slumber. While we're talking about things that are almost hard to believe, impossible to believe, the New York Times is reporting that a German judge has stirred a storm of protest in Germany by citing the Quran and turning down a German Muslim woman's request for a speedy divorce on the ground that her husband beat her. The findings of the case are clear. This Muslim man beat his wife. He claimed in court that the Quran sanctioned such physical abuse. And the judge, the German judge, Christa Dotz Winter, noted that the couple came from a Moroccan cultural context in which it is common for husbands to beat their wives. The Quran, she wrote in her judicial decision in Germany, sanctions such physical abuse. Now, this has created a firestorm in Germany. What you have here is multiculturalism that has lost its mind. You know, it is suggesting that Western cultures should now allow persons to beat their wives, men to beat their wives, so long as they cite the Quran as their reference point. Now, I think a sane culture would identify this as insanity. But what we're looking at here is the reality that Europe, having turned itself into such a secular civilization, is now increasingly becoming more and more Islamicized. All you have to do is look at the statistics, look at the birth rates, and you can see a Muslim future for Europe, which was once the cradle of Christian civilization itself. It's a reminder to us that nature abhors a vacuum, and the human soul abhors a vacuum. When what happens when Christianity recedes is not that secularism stays, it's that secularism can't hold. Something takes its place, and in this place, it looks like that something is Muslim. Roland Pfaffala, General Secretary of the Christian Democratic Union, that's a political party in Germany, said, quote, "When the Quran is put above the German Constitution, I can only say good night, Germany." Well, that is a statement of common sense coming from a major German politician. Judge Dotz Winter, in her statement defending her ruling, said that she had ordered the man to move out, and she put a restraining order on him. But she also, even in her statement defending her judgment, cited the verse in the Quran that speaks of a husband's prerogatives in disciplining his wife. And, get this, it gets worse. She suggested that the wife's Western lifestyle would give her husband grounds to claim that his honor had been compromised. You know, folks, when Western courts begin to defer to Muslim sensibilities in this way, in effect and explicitly allowing a man to beat his wife and saying that it was the wife's fault because she, after all, had embraced a Western lifestyle, you have to wonder, how do you recover from this? Just take the two issues we've just been discussing, the sex selection abortions at the United Nations and a German judge signing the Quran. You can realize, again, what happens in a post-Christian culture when you lose the ability to talk reasonably about what is right and wrong, and instead you are left with just talking about rights talk. One of the things we need to watch is how we are all susceptible to this. It's easy to look at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women or to look at this situation in Germany and say, you know, they immediately turn to their rights. I have a concern about Christians who sometimes do the same thing. Instead of responding with a word of gospel witness, we sometimes come back and say, this is our right. We respond to the rights talk by asserting our own rights talk. And there's a fundamental reason why that may not well work, that may not serve us well as we look into the future. I'm not saying that we don't defend Christian rights to proclaim the gospel, that we don't protect our rights to bear witness to Christ, free speech rights, free assembly rights, and all the rest. I am saying that we as Christians always have to point to a higher good than our rights. If we are genuinely disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we are following a Lord who claims his own sovereignty. And whatever rights we have are only the rights of one who would take up a cross and follow him. It's a good thing every once in a while to see something like this and be reminded of the fact that it's really not about us. As Christians, we know it's all about Christ. Is there a secret you're supposed to find out? Rhonda Byrne has written a book entitled The Secret, and it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And if you don't know about it, you had better. We'll be back to discuss it in just a moment. The phone number 877-893-8255, coast to coast. This is the Albert Mueller Program. The Secret, the movement, the book, the DVD, the nonsense. It's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I have the book here in my hand. It's neatly packaged. It looks like kind of a knockoff of the Da Vinci Code. I'm sure that's an accident. The author is Rhoda Byrne, and according to the flyleaf, this is how she's identified. Like each of us, she's been on her own journey of discovery. Along the way, she brought together a superb team of authors, ministers, teachers, filmmakers, designers, and publishers to bring forth The Secret to the world. And through her vision, bring joy to millions. Oh, yes, making documentaries one day, bringing joy to millions the next. She's written a book that has obviously made her wealthy, and she says that the very secret is what she calls the law of attraction. She says that all things in the universe operate on a frequency, and you can draw these things to yourself. If you want wealth, you can draw it to yourself. If you want success, you can draw it to yourself. Oprah Winfrey evidently decided that she was drawn to this book and this author. She has featured it. And, again, it is a bestseller in America. Evidently, there are a lot of people in America who believe this is the way it works. My guest today is Dr. Don Whitney. Dr. Donald Whitney is professor of spirituality here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's written a major review of the book, and he's written very fine books himself. Don Whitney, what is this really all about?
This book is about greed. This book is about attracting what you want. That's what it says. It says, by this means, by the law of attraction, you can have whatever you want from their website. They right at the very beginning, it's the secret to unlimited joy, health, money, relationships, love, youth, everything you have ever wanted.
I can have everything I ever wanted.
That's right. You can have whatever you want. You can be, you can have, you can get whatever you want. There is nothing, she says, there is nothing that you cannot apply the secret to.
Okay, now the secret is not only positive thinking, according to her, it is also metaphysical. What is this about vibrations and frequencies?
Well, it's important to say that it's more than about positive thinking, because I've come across some Christians who say, look, don't worry about a lot of this stuff in there. It's just a book about positive thinking. Take that and forget everything else. It's a lot more than that. But the metaphysical part, she argues that everything in the universe, and the word universe is always capitalized. Always capitalized throughout the book, really a substitution for God. Everything in the universe vibrates on some sort of frequency. She never goes beyond explaining that, explaining what it is. And if you will think on that frequency, you will attract that thing to you. So if you are thinking mostly about wealth, you will attract wealth. If instead you're predominated in your thinking by your debt, you will attract more debt. The law of attraction.
What if you're thinking nonsense?
Well, that's what you'll bring to yourself.
Well, that's what I've got in my hand in the form of The Secret. And not only that, you know, we wouldn't be talking about here on this program if this was just nonsense. It's dangerous nonsense. Let me quote to you here from the book on this page 164. This is the author Rhonda Byrne speaking about all of us. She says, you are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificence. You are the creator, and you are creating the creation of you on this planet. Now, Don, I just have to say, when you read something like that, you just have to wonder how anyone with a straight face, not even attempting to be a heretic, even being the most wide-eyed, rebellious heretic, how anyone could write this much error into that few, a number of words.
Well, and if that weren't enough, the book that more of our friends and co-workers are reading than any other book is also saying the earth turns on its orbit for you. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Every beautiful thing that you see, every wondrous thing you experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now you know the secret. Well, what kind of God are you if you have to be told you are God? But, you know, this would be beautiful if it were addressed to the God of heaven. But Rhonda Byrne says this is what we should say to the person in the mirror. And we have to come down and say this is the heresy of heresies. It's nothing less than the original lie in the Garden of Eden where Satan said, you will be like God.
Well, we're going to listen to Rhonda Byrne talking about this here. We'll listen to her own voice, and this is out in DVD product and all the rest. Let's roll clip 15.
Your thoughts determine your frequency, and your feelings tell you immediately what frequency you are on. When you are feeling bad, you are on the frequency of drawing more bad things.
Okay, let's flip through a few of these things. Go with 19.
You have the power to change anything because you are the one who chooses your thoughts and you are the one who feels your feelings.
Okay, you feeling left out? Listen to clip 21.
There is a truth deep down inside of you that has been waiting for you to discover it. And that truth is this. You deserve all good things life has to offer. You know that inherently because you feel awful when you are experiencing the lack of good things. All good things are your birthright. You are the creator of you, and the law of attraction is your magnificent tool to create whatever you want in your life. Welcome to the magic of life and the magnificence of you.
Okay, candidly speaking here, I'm scared to live in a world in which people who believe this stuff drive cars. I'm serious. This is just frightening stuff. Number one, let's just get at this last thing we heard. You deserve all good things life has to offer. True or false? Absolutely false. You know, what do we deserve? You know, the idea that just by existing, we deserve all the good things that life has to offer is ridiculous. And by the way, no one can experience all the good things that life has to offer, defined as people today would define them as good. This law of attraction is your magnificent tool to create whatever you want in your life. It's absolute nonsense. She goes on and says that food is not responsible for putting on weight. It's your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually has food put on weight.
She says, don't look at fat people. That causes you to think about being overweight, and you will attract more weight to yourself.
You know, I'd love to see what she eats.
Well, she claims in the book, I think, page 59, what she eats, and she can eat basically whatever she wants. She slimmed down once she started applying the secret to this. Now she can eat whatever she wants, and she stays slim.
Okay, she says, food cannot cause you to put on weight unless you think it can.
Right. Let's be reminded, someone may have just tuned in and said, what in the world is Dr. Mueller even wasting his time on this? This is from USA Today just 2 days ago, showing it's not only the number one bestseller, it is selling four times as many copies as the number two bestseller in the nation. Recently on Amazon, when it was number one, the audio version, I don't know if this has ever happened before, the audio version of the book, not the DVD we've been listening to, but the audio version of the book was number three, number one and three in the nation. This is, and I've encountered church groups who have been studying this, and this is why this is an issue.
Just a minute. Now, just don't give me a heart attack here. You're telling me there are church groups that are studying this because they want to know what their neighbors are reading in order that they can respond to it with a biblical argument, right?
No, that's not what I've heard. I've heard that there are women's groups in particular, probably because of the Oprah influence. That's where the book became overnight the number one bestseller, that have been studying this because they see value in the book. Then people would say, well, it's just positive thinking. Don't worry about the other stuff.
Well, you know, I tell you what, maybe some good will come out of this if people find out what Oprah really believes in this. You know, I've been doing articles and actually programs talking about, you know, what Oprah's communicating in terms of a worldview. Maybe this will wake up some eyes there. When we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more from Rhonda Byrne, but we hope to hear from you. Maybe you've seen the book, read the book, heard about the book, or maybe someone you know, work with, live with. Let's talk to you about the book. Give us a call. The number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, coast to coast. We're having an open conversation about the secret. And this is the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're discussing Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, pushed by Oprah Winfrey. Oprah absolutely says it's the secret to her own success. She's been pushing this. It is metaphysical nonsense repackaged in a New Age form, made to look like the Da Vinci Code. And folks, someone out there listening to this program is buying this stuff. I mean, at least you're buying the book because the statistics tell the story. I'd love to know what you think about this. The phone number is 877-893-8255. It may be that someone's had a family member, coworker, neighbor, someone, you know, raise a question about this book. It is the most talked about book right now in America. 1.5 million copies sold in a matter of just a few weeks. The fastest selling book of its kind in the history of publishing worldwide. That ought to tell you something. I really want you to understand how truly wretched this material is. And you would again be scared, I think, to believe that your friends and neighbors could believe some of this. Roll clip 28.
The only reason any person does not have enough money is because they are blocking money from coming to them with their thoughts. Every negative thought, feeling, or emotion is blocking your good from coming to you, and that includes money.
Okay, just contrast that with the words of Jesus concerning the poor, concerning poverty, and all the rest. He didn't tell them that we're keeping things from coming to them by not being tuned into the right frequency. Roll clip 32 and go right into 33.
When you think about what you want and you emit that frequency, you cause the energy of what you want to vibrate at that frequency and bring it to you. As you focus on what you want, you are changing the vibration of the atoms of that thing, and you are causing it to vibrate to you. You are God in a physical body. You are spirit in the flesh. You are eternal life expressing itself as you. You are a cosmic being. You are all power. You are all wisdom. You are all intelligence. You are perfection. You are magnificence. You are the creator, and you are creating the creation of you on this planet.
Professor Don Whitney is my guest on the program today, professor of Christian spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and author of such books as Disciplines of the Christian Life. He's written a major review of this. Listen, Professor Whitney, what does she say about illness? Why does anyone die?
You know, there's not one mention of death or the afterlife or sin. But in the entire book, with all lists about wonderful living, there's no mention that this will ever end. Not one word of death, not one word of the afterlife.
So she is not even bold enough to say that death doesn't come. She does mention illness. And what does she say about illness?
That it's because of negative thinking, that you have not attracted health to yourself. Now, I don't know how this has to do with germs or things like this, but
maybe you can attract those too.
I suppose so.
You know, this law of attraction she talks about, she actually says that you can attract physical objects to yourself because you're changing the atomic, and she should have said, by the way, molecular structure of these things. And she says you can start with a feather because it's light. You can draw that to yourself. And I'll admit to you, I'm completely incompetent. I can't draw a feather to myself. I can't even imagine this being taken seriously by people. You know, you just look at this and you think, how could this be done? And the illness part is the bridge to where we're going. You know, play clip 31. You know, why does anyone get sick?
Think thoughts of perfection. Illness cannot exist in a body that has harmonious thoughts. Know there is only perfection. And as you observe perfection, you must summon that to you. Imperfect thoughts are the cause of all humanity's ills, including disease, poverty, and unhappiness.
Now, you see, I thought I was in the hospital and in the intensive care unit because of blood clots and abdominal surgery. I didn't know it was because of imperfect thoughts.
I'm just wondering what people are thinking as I imagine them driving and hitting the button right in the middle of that clip and thinking, I thought I was getting Dr. Mohler's program.
Well, you are, and what you're getting is coverage and a discussion about The Secret, Rhonda Byrne's new book that is taking the nation by storm. You know, when it talks about illness that way, Don, I have to think of Mark Twain and Christian Science. You know, this is really, in many ways, as I look at the book, it's kind of an amalgam of all kinds of really horrible ideas put forth by all kinds of weird movements throughout time. She is clever at packaging all
this.
Very
eclectic. Yeah.
What reminds me about Christian Science, you know, Mark Twain wrote a book entitled Christian Science, in which he tells a story about a mountain climber who fell. His body was entirely crumpled at the bottom of the mountain. He was rescued by a Christian Science practitioner, an elderly lady, who told him that pain was illusory and that there's no such thing as pain or illness. And she said there was no such thing as death. So, of course, Mark Twain, being a skilled humorist, decided that his mountain climber would spend his time pondering the murder of this woman who said there was no such thing as pain and death. That's Mark Twain for you. Mark Twain saw this whole idea of positive thinking and what is here called the law of attraction is nonsense. What do you think? 877-893-8255. We'll be right back.
The earth turns on its orbit for you. The oceans ebb and flow for you. The birds sing for you. The sun rises and it sets for you. The stars come out for you. Every beautiful thing you see, every wondrous thing you experience is all there for you. Take a look around. None of it can exist without you. No matter who you thought you were, now you know the truth of who you really are. You are the master of the universe. You are the heir to the kingdom. You are the perfection of life. And now you know the secret.
Wow, that's Rhonda Byrne from her new book and DVD, The Secret, number one in the bestseller list all across the country, pushed by Oprah, etc. You just heard her say, the earth turns on its orbit for you, the oceans ebb and flow for you, the birds sing for you, the sun rises and it sets for you. By the way, if you believe that, I don't want to live near you. This is really, really, well, first of all, self-delusional stuff here. You're just looking at this. The idea that you are God, all this stuff. What we've been talking about here is that this is just repackaged nonsense from the past. Let's go to our caller. Cynthia's calling from St. Matthews, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hey, Dr. Mueller. I just have a question. If this lady can pull feathers to her and other objects, wouldn't that mean that she would be filled with demonic forces?
Well, you'd have to wonder where such a power would come from, and you'd have to use some biblical guidelines in order to figure that out, Cynthia. But number one, I don't think she can draw feathers. You know, and I think this is like Uri Geller, you know, the old stuff about bending spoons and attracting coins from years past. It's just doesn't happen. And, you know, what she's done here is to write a book saying you can do this. And I guess what amazes me is there's so many people who believe this. Cynthia, I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe for a minute that she can draw a feather or a single atom or molecule by her mental energy. I think she has proved, however, that she can draw weak-minded people to buy her books. I think that's the law of attraction that really matters here. Thanks for your call, Cynthia. Let's go to Bristol, Virginia, where Jennifer's on the line, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, I went to a conference about a year ago, and Ergen Kainer was talking about that he felt that atheism and postmodernism, while still a threat, weren't going to be as significant as this twisted spirituality that he'd seen coming to light. And I had never heard of this book before your broadcast, but I was just appalled at the things I heard. And it's just an example of that that's coming to light. And, you know, if Christians are getting, you know, drawn into this, it's because we're not grounded in the scriptures. If we would, you know, get back in the Bible and see what the truth really is, I think that we, you know, you wouldn't see this drawing away of these people into this false teaching.
Jennifer, good point, and I think Dr. Kainer here, and by the way, I was with him just Monday this week at Liberty University, I think he's exactly right. This kind of twisted spirituality is what is going to delude far more people than the kind of academic theory of postmodernism. But it's really all of one piece, I think, when you look at the big picture. It's the idea that truth is relative, that all truth is socially constructed, and that I am the center of the universe, basically. And let's put it this way. What more audacious claim could there be than that I get to say what the text means rather than the author, that I get to determine what truth is rather than any objective reality, and now I get to be told I'm God? Jennifer, great point. I really appreciate your call. Now, Don Whitney, when you look at this, how do you explain this as the number one best-selling book in America?
I think it's based upon greed, for one thing, but I think people are looking for a hope. And the basic problem here is it turns us selfward rather than Godward in our hope. It's the old adage from just about anything in the world that your greatest problem is outside of you and the solution is within you if you look within. Whereas the biblical gospel says your greatest problem is within. Your heart is deceitful above all things and wicked. We have broken the law of God and our only solution is outside of us, and that is the sacrifice, the substitute that God has given us in Jesus.
You know, when you start looking at the whole question of why people would want these things, don't we have to come back to the fact that in many cases what is attracting these readers, these listeners, is that they want the wrong things in the first place?
Well, sure. The book of James says the quarrels and conflicts among you are because of the things you want and you can't get. And that's a universal principle, I think, there, not only for Christians but for other people. And everyone wants more than they have now in one way or another, and whether it's a whatever the desire is. And so this appears to be the universal solution. Oprah said on the teaser for her program that made me watch it, it's the secret to everything. It's the secret to all my success. And so when the most influential woman in America says this is the secret to all my success, it gets people's attention.
You know, when you start thinking about the kind of positive thinking, draw things to you by mental frequency kind of thing. You deserve everything. It's just a matter of your mental energy and all the rest. Doesn't this sound frighteningly like what we get on a lot of religious television in terms of those who preach a name it and claim it kind of gospel, and that God wants you to be healthy and God wants you to be rich and you can have these things if you'll simply have enough faith?
Sure. My summary of the whole thing is based upon that. It's for, and a Christian audience like those listening to this program largely would understand when I say it's what TV preachers have been saying, some of them for decades. It's a name it, claim it, positive confession, prosperity theology. But the twist is it's built upon New Age self-deification. In other words, like some preachers and some theologies that hold, if you will think the right thoughts and if you will confess the right things and maintain these positive attitudes, you will attract things to you. But the difference is, Rhonda Byrne says you can do that because you are God.
Well, I don't know whether she actually believes this stuff or not. Nonetheless, she has to take responsibility for having written it and promoting these ideas all over the country. You know, I think there are many Christians listening to this who say, you know, it's hard for me to believe that that anyone would fall for this stuff. But we need to recognize there's a spiritual hunger out there in this world that we need to understand. There's a spiritual hunger in which people are buying almost anything. And it also is a reminder to us of the challenge we have in evangelism, because at least a part of what we have to do in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people is convert the question. They think what they want is prosperity. They think what they want is to feel good about themselves. They think what they want is material goods. And we have to come along and at least in part tell them, you know, that's not what the good life is all about.
And Jesus said, what does it prosper someone if they gain the whole world, which Rhonda Byrne says you can basically do that, and yet lose your soul? What happens after death?
Yeah, you know, this also gets back to the simple matter of math, doesn't it? It's kind of like Shirley MacLaine claiming that in one of her books years ago that everyone had several previous lives until someone pointed out that the sum total of people living today is greater than the sum total of all the people that ever lived in past history. It's not only impossible that everyone was a lot of people in the past, it's impossible that everyone was any person in the past. And, of course, her response was more or less, well, that's just for people who are hung up on math. Yeah, the numbers are tricky things. Same thing here. You know, it's not true. It's just a simple fact that everyone can have everything. Just think about that for a moment. We'll be back with some further thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Miller Program.
Thoughts are magnetic, and thoughts have a frequency. As you think, those thoughts are sent out into the universe, and they magnetically attract all like things that are on the same frequency. Everything sent out returns to the source, and that source is you.
That source is you. Well, actually, that source is me. If I'm reading the book, that's what I'm supposed to think. I'm supposed to read this book and think it's all about me. Has anyone thought about the problem that if there are millions of people reading this book and they all think the universe is about themselves? We have a very, very conflicted civilization here. Now, and see, that's the only reasonable conclusion to come to this is that the people who are reading this don't actually believe it. It seems to me they can pick up on a part of it, but they can't pick up on the totality of it. She's gone several steps too far to take this seriously. The next time they have a cold they can't get rid of, they're going to discover it's not all about their frequency. Am I fooling myself, Don Whitney?
No. What about the collision of all these thoughts? If everyone is thinking around the world about, I want more money, aren't they colliding in the atmosphere there somewhere? And this whole idea of frequency, where does this come from? There's no establishment of that. And what is this frequency?
Well, whatever it is, it's selling. It's selling by the millions of copies, both in terms of the book and the DVD. And I know many of you have not seen the book, but you have, I'm certain, in the last couple of days, run into someone who has. You would be surprised, I think, to know who might be reading this book, because there are an awful lot of persons who are well described by the Apostle Paul when he wrote unto Timothy in his correspondence, saying they're people with itching ears, and they're frivolous people that are simply attracted by frivolous thoughts, and that's what we're looking at here. This is not a reasonable, commonsensical, or rational approach to life, even before you start to contrast it with the Christian worldview. In other words, even before you start to look and say, how does this differ from the Christian gospel, you have to realize this is something that can't be taken seriously just on its face. But the serious reality is that millions of Americans are buying the book. Rhonda Byrne is certain to be a very wealthy woman. Don Whitney, what would you say is the one best antidote to this nonsense?
It is general knowledge of the Bible, first of all. That's why a lot of people can't discern when it says you are God. What's the basic problem with that? I mean, this is the greatest lie in the Bible. But also, the specific reaffirmation of particular truths in the Scripture need to be emphasized. So this is why it's important to be in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church, for people to be Bible readers.
Professor Donald Whitney has written the review of The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. Is this a review that our listeners can find?
They can find it at biblicalspirituality.org.
All right, we'll put a link to that up on our website at albertmuller.com. My guest today has been Professor Donald S. Whitney, Professor of Christian Spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. We've been discussing Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret. Get ready to talk about it with your friends, family members, and neighbors. Give them a Christian answer. We'll meet you next week.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmuller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmuller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.